Alrighty, Proverbs 22, and we're going to read verses 24 and 25. Reading with me, please, out loud. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Tonight I want to bring a Bible study and simply entitled The Angry Man and His Influence. The Angry Man and His Influence. Father, I just ask you now to help me that I might convey truth, that, Lord, we would get application from the Holy Spirit as He works in each of our hearts and our lives tonight. And I pray, Father, that we would see the application that you have for each of us. And I ask it in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. I have never seen our society so angry as it is right now. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Driving. I have seen more angry drivers this year than I've ever seen. I listen to police radio, and I've been doing it a lot for the last couple of months. And I listen to the Colorado Springs Police Department, and I sometimes will listen to Indianapolis, where I grew up, but they've got their modulation too high, and it just sort of all sounds muffled. But I listen down here. You would not believe how many calls there are for road rage. Just, it's unbelievable. Road rage, I-25 South, mile marker 132 or 148 or whatever it might be. Road rage has been incredible. You turn on the news and you see the riotous actions of so many people, saved and unsaved alike. Many who claim to be Christians carry the same type of thing going on in their lives. But it's become a very angry society, very impatient society, very impatient. Impatient with everything that goes on, it seems, and the longer they have to wait, the angrier they get. And when you read these two verses here about the angry man, or you could change that to the angry person, which I have done kind of throughout the entire Bible study, we learn something about the dangers of associating with an angry individual. If nothing else, it makes an interesting title for the Bible study, The Angry Man and His Influence. The truth is, according to what the Word of God says, an angry individual is not your friend. That's exactly right. Who is the angriest person that you know? Think about that for a moment. Who is the angriest person that you know? If you're able to answer that, you can probably relate to so many different things that I'm going to say tonight. And one of the many commands that are found in the Bible, God gives us commands to obey. And here we have God's commands in these two verses, Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. These are not suggestions, these are commands that God gives. And by the way, there is a difference between a suggestion that God gives. There are some things that are admonitions. There are other things that are commands. The commands are very, very serious, and we need to pay very close attention to them. Like, for example, the Ten Commandments are not the only commands in the Bible. You hear all kinds of references to this all the time. I've never taken the time to count them. But they say there's like 615 different commandments that are given in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Is that accurate? Don't know. And at this point in my Christian life, I don't care. I don't care to count 615 commands that are there. I just acknowledge them when I come across them. And I think that's a very good thing to do. Well, as Solomon endeavors with God's wisdom to teach his boy Rehoboam how to make a life for himself and how to be a successful king, he gave him all kinds of specific instructions. I've listed a few. We've learned these over the years. For example, he warned him to beware of those who would entice him to sin. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He taught him these things. He warned him of the woman who would do her best to change his religion and his morality. He warned him about those who were lazy. He warned him of running with the wrong crowd, associating with the wrong people. And he warned him of those who would waste his time. You know, there are time wasters. I think about a lot of times on Facebook, you know, and I know sometimes you scroll through and you find stuff that's interesting to read. I understand that. But then there's those dumb things that waste your time. You know, find the fourth cat or Find how many faces can you find on this picture? Count the faces. How many squares? How many rectangles? How many triangles? All these different things. And you can sit there and you can look at these things. And if you're not careful, if you're wise, you'll scroll on by or shut your phone or your tablet off. Or sometimes you'll sit there and try to figure out all these different things. Time wasters. And Solomon taught Rehoboam that there are going to be things and people who would waste his time. There used to be a man in our church years ago. He would call me during the day and he'd say, Pastor or preacher, he called me. He said, I didn't have anything else to do, so I thought I would call you. The other thing that's really fun that happens from time to time, and I say fun, people will call and say, are you busy? Duh, of course I'm busy. You called right in the middle of something. I'm not too busy to help you with a problem. I'm not too busy to counsel with you. I'm not too busy to do those things. But listen, I don't sit around idle all day long. I got things that I do, and I study, and I work, and so many different things. There are literally hundreds of places throughout Proverbs where Solomon gave warnings to his son. He was a wise father. Rehoboam was not an obedient son. And Rehoboam would have been wise if he had followed his father's admonitions and heeded his warnings, but he did not. And this Bible study reveals Solomon's warning to his son concerning the angry individual, the angry man. So here's what I want to do. You have your Bible there. I want you to look. I'm going to define some words for you, and I want you to see these very, very clearly. First of all, the word friendship that is found here. It's from the word friend, obviously. And it means this, one with whom you find great delight, one in whom you take pleasure. That's a friend. And very interesting. Now, this friend, according to the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, is one you choose to be your friend and one whom you treat as a friend. You choose this individual and you treat them like a friend. It's more than a mere acquaintance, this friend. A good way to put it, if you want to know, is a friend of choice. I choose to be your friend. I have said through the years to so many people, thank you for choosing to be my friend. Thank you. Brother Hiles even wrote a song a number of years ago, a little short course, said, thank you for being my friend, which I thought was really, really special. So friendship, the next words I want you to look at are angry man. This interesting little phrase here talks about blowing through your nostrils. Say blowing through your nostrils. Kind of a funny thing to think about, blowing through your nostrils. But even though this word means this, this man is no blowhard. The angry man is controlled by his anger. And when he's mad, he just puffs and blows through his nose because he's in full disgust. He's so angry. That's this individual. And the word carries with it the meaning that he is ready and willing to do violence to the one with whom he is angry. That's the picture that it actually draws. I always encourage all of you to do the same study that I have done. You will find the same meanings and emphases that I give to you, because these things are not studied out lightly. They are studied out heavily and very important to me. Now notice the next phrase, furious man. What is the difference between an angry man and a furious man? The word furious here has another interesting meaning. It means literally the master or the lord of wrath. The master or the lord of wrath. And perhaps this man is not as out of control as the angry man, but he still lashes out violently toward other people. He's furious. The next thing the Bible talks about is ways. And we're going to put all this into the Bible study in a little bit. The word ways literally means his path. And the Bible tells us to avoid the same path that this man or this individual is on. And it's the same word that is used in Psalm 1 and verse 1, where the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's talking about the path he's chosen to walk. And the Bible, and Solomon warns his son, stay off that road. Don't follow him down that path, okay? And then notice, if you would please, the word snare. And that's interesting because a snare is a trap that doesn't kill. It simply holds its prey until the one comes along who's going to kill it. And the Bible says this is a snare that we're reading about tonight. It's a snare that rarely killed its victim, but held it in place till the hunter came. And of course, the last word is the word soul, and it speaks of the seat of the emotions. And this would be a man's heart, his emotional makeup. And when you choose to be involved with an angry individual, you will always get more than you bargain for. So I want to show you that tonight in this study. You have your Bibles there. We're going to be looking in a number of different places. I've got a couple of passages that they're a little longer than reading a couple of verses, but they put this entire Bible study together, okay? Number one, this is a command. Proverbs 22 and verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Make no friendship. And with somebody that's furious, don't follow their path. The Bible is very plain when it says that we are not to make friendship with an angry individual. And I do not see this as a suggestion. I see this as a direct command from the Lord. And the command is twofold. I want you to see the twofold command that's here. Number one, we are not to make friendship with an angry person. Remember the definition of friendship? One with whom you find great delight, one in whom you take pleasure. An angry individual's not the one, he's not your friend. This friend, according to the Hebrew language, is the one you choose to be your friend, one you take delight in. And so, but this individual is an angry individual. The second command is we are not to go with a furious person. And once again, you got to remember the definition of furious is a master or lord of wrath. He's got things under control, but he can be very, very violent toward the people with whom he is angry. And so God draws this for us. This is not a command to be disregarded, but rather it is a command to be obeyed. And any time we find delight or pleasure in an angry person, we are asking for trouble. The Bible seems to make that clear. Now, it is one thing to know someone who is angry. And all of us, through our lives, we know angry people. My goodness. If you don't know any angry people, you don't ever leave your house. You don't turn on your TV set. You don't listen to the radio. You don't drive anywhere. Nothing. But we all, in all of our lives, have known many angry people. And so the American Heritage Dictionary defines a friend as, first of all, a person whom one knows, one whom one likes, and one whom one trusts. It also says a person whom one knows like an acquaintance. The dictionary also says a person with whom one is allied in a struggle or a cause, a comrade. And the last meaning that the American Heritage Dictionary gives is he's a sympathizer. You'll see that applied shortly. One who would do well to avoid a close relationship with any angry person. Number two, the angry and furious person is a teacher. Did you notice what it says in verse 25? It said, lest thou, what's the next word? Learn. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. All that to say, what this is teaching is we become like those with whom we associate. That's what we do. If you run with a skunk, you're going to smell like a skunk. If you buy and sell flowers, your scent will be floral. If your friends are worldly, you're going to be worldly. If your friends are ungodly, you're going to be ungodly. And if your friends are angry, sooner or later, you're going to be angry because you end up learning their ways. Why? Because you learn from those with whom you associate. And you don't have to go very far back in your mind to look over your life and think about all the people that God has brought into your life or that you have invited into your life. You've learned from every one of them. Some things you've learned were good. Some things you learned were not so good. And some things that we learned were bad because we learn from our associations. So notice this, how Solomon told his son that if he associated with an angry and furious person, he would end up learning his ways. What are the ways of an angry and furious individual? Proverbs 29 and verse 22. Listen to these words. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. So, An angry man's way is full of strife, and a furious man's way is full of sin. And God gives us that in this particular passage. And so we have to understand that an angry and a furious person is someone who is our teacher. When we learn or when we associate with them, we're going to learn their ways. Number three, real friends become like each other. Now, I know that sounds like a repetition of what I just said to you. And in a way it is, but perhaps this is repetition for what I just said. But friends do become like each other. If you make friends with or find pleasure in an angry individual, you'll soon become angry just because your friend is angry. You end up taking up a cause that's really not your own. Then you share war stories and become angry together, and after that, your friend becomes you become bosom buddies and you're on the same team, so to speak. This happens in churches more often than not, and we've seen it to where someone will be angry or disagree with something heavily, and they will get a group of people around them that feel they talk into feeling the way that they do, and then it causes a problem within a local church. And the same thing happens in families. If a child is discontent living at home, he will find somebody that's discontent as well, and they will develop this hatred or this discontentedness together, you see. They're not helping each other to get past the problem. And so as Christians, we got to watch our associations, for we will truly become like those with whom we associate. Number four, we can be angry and sin not. That has been a cause for a lot of people's problems in trying to understand the Bible. If anger like this is a sin, how can we be angry and sin not? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry. Do you see that admonition? Be ye angry. But then notice the rest of the admonition. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The anger and fury spoken of in Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25, is an emotion out of control. Ephesians 4:26 teaches that our anger is to be without sin. So what's the difference? It's okay to be angry at sin, but not out of control at a sinner. Sort of puts everything in perspective for us. You see, Christians get angry sometimes over the silliest things these days. And after a while, their anger turns to fury. To be angry at your uncontrolled anger is okay. To be angry about that. Well, I got to get over this and I'm angry at it. Well, that's okay. For this is anger without sin. But to be angry for the sake of being angry, it's a sin. I've written down a few examples that I think we can look at. And I'm not going to keep you much longer because I think this Bible study is pretty well self-explanatory in so many ways. For example, Moses was angered at the sin of God's people. We all know the stories of that. And, of course, that was right. He became angry at the rock of Horeb, and he smote it, and he disobeyed God. This was wrong. David became angry at those who sinned against God, and that was right. He became angry at Abigail's husband, Nabal, because he wouldn't give him what he wanted. That was wrong. Paul became angry at the sin in the church at Corinth, and he had every right to be angry with what was going on in the church at Corinth. I mean, all kinds of incestuous sinfulness that was going on and worldliness. Well, that was right. But he became angry at Barnabas over whether or not John Mark should travel with them. And that was wrong. They should have never gotten in that to where the division, where the anger was so sharp and the disagreement was so sharp that they split a perfectly good ministry. Anger without a righteous cause is wrong. Therefore, the Bible says to be angry, but simply don't be sinning in your anger. Solomon knew that Rehoboam could be easily influenced by angry people. So he warned him not to make friends with angry and furious people or run with them or have those associations. However, he chose the opposite and followed the advice of some other angry young men, illustrating what we've already showed you about learning. If you have your Bible, I'm going to read 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. It is a story in the Bible that with which you are well acquainted, okay? It's one you know, but I want to read it word for word, verses 1 through 15, 1 Kings chapter 12. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Good advice. But look at the next word, but. He said, but. He forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus thou shalt say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, and the king had appointed them, as the king had appointed them, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Rehoboam was an angry young man, and apparently he had people that he could consult with that were probably just as angry as he was. And it's amazing how when somebody is angry, there's always people they can gather around them that will join in their cause. We studied that earlier in this study, you see. And being an angry young man himself, he sought counsel from the young men who were just as angry as he was. And this was a mistake, and it ruined the kingdom. It ruined the testimony of God. How many times have I said that through the years? He followed the young men's advice, and it was just, when you read what he says, it was just out of anger, rebelling against his father, rebelling against all that was right. And the truth is, running with and taking advice from angry people will ruin you. Thus, the admonition that is found in Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You got to remember, making friendship with a furious man and running with a furious man may not destroy you, but it will snare you, and the snare will hold you until the hunter comes to destroy you. I think the Bible's pretty clear on this, and I said at the beginning of this Bible study, we are living in a very angry age. This year is angrier in every aspect you can see on the news, on the radio, on the television, in society. It is one of the angriest times we've ever been in our lives. And we must be careful not to befriend those who will destroy us with their fury and with their uncontrolled anger. That's my Bible study for tonight. As unappealing as it may be, the angry man and his influence. Shall we stand for a closing word of prayer?